There's that school bell, so come on into the schoolhouse and come to class and take your seat, and we'll continue our studies in the Warren County Radio Bible School. And we're looking at a series of lessons about the Christian life, and we've come to a Sunday school lesson called Sharing the Good News. And the text in this Sunday school lesson of 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 20. Let me read that text to you. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they that live should no longer live to themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. Wherefore we henceforth know no man after the flesh, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him so no more. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you, on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God." In this study of sharing the good news, we've come to a caption in our Sunday school lesson called "A New Creature in Christ," and then, after that, the caption "Ambassadors of Christ." And we'll be looking at that in just a moment. These are Sunday school notes that were prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March the 6th, 1927. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now, let's go back and consult Elam's notes on a new creature in Christ. Wherefore, this is, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. "Wherefore, we henceforth know no man after the flesh." These verses teach us the same lessons which John the Baptist taught the Pharisees and Sadducees, and that Jesus taught Nicodemus, which is that no one enters the kingdom of God or is a child of God because of his fleshly descent from Abraham, or because he belongs to any fleshly family on earth, or fills any station among men. To become a child of God, one must be born of God, must obey God. So Jew or Gentile can become a child of God regardless of fleshly birth or family connection. Jesus sent out the apostles to preach repentance and the remission of sins unto all nations. So the conditions of pardon and peace are preached alike to all. For this reason, we know that no man after the flesh in the church of God, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him so no more. No man in Paul's time was a Christian or a child of God because he belonged to the fleshly family among the Jews, or even of which Christ was born. Jesus Christ's own half-brothers at first did not believe on him, and were no better because of kinship with him. So with every other Jew. Some are acquainted with Christ while he was here in the flesh, but they were no better for that. But this may mean that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, 1 John 1 and verse 14. Hence, Christ was manifest in the flesh and was thus known in the flesh. But after he ascended to heaven, he is still in heaven with his glorified body. He is not known in the flesh, but is the Savior, prophet, priest, and king. Whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free, rich or poor, high or low, the only way to be saved is to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. If any man, whosoever he may be, is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. This is the same as being born anew, or born again, or born of water and of the Spirit, like as which we read in John 3, verses 3 through 8. But very many are far more concerned about the theory of the new birth, or the theory of getting into Christ, than they are about the reality of being born anew, or of being indeed new creatures in Christ. When one is a new creature in Christ, the old life has been left behind. The old man with his deeds has been put off. The love of the world has been given up. And one has come out of darkness into light. One has a new heart, a new hope, new associates, a new life to live. The affections have been set upon things above. All things have become new. If this is not the case, how can one claim to be in Christ? How then does one enter into, live in, and die in Christ? One comes to Christ through faith in him, repentance of all sins, owning and confessing him as prophet, priest, and king, and then enters him by being baptized into him. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. But this is not all. One must abide in Christ, grow in the Christian graces in him. Hence Paul says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, Romans 13, 14. In Christ, one finds redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and all spiritual blessings. But all things, the new life, and all good things in Christ are of God. They have come through the love and grace of God. God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. God is not man's enemy. He has no feeling of enmity against man. He has never wronged or harmed man in any way. God is love and seeks man's greatest good both here and hereafter. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. The supreme good of the human race was his consideration in the creation of all things. When sin and death entered the world through man's transgression, God in grace and love provided through Christ the way of salvation. Hence, God is not the one to become reconciled. He is willing and ready and able to save to the uttermost all who come unto him through Christ, Hebrews 7 and verse 25. It is unnecessary and wrong, therefore, to pray God to become reconciled to save sinners. On the contrary, sinners are prayed to be reconciled to God. Sinners are at enmity with God. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world maketh himself an enemy of God, James 4 and verse 4. The world hates God and Christ and his church, John 15, 8 and 9. To become reconciled to God is to put away this enmity, to love God, to become obedient to Him, to imbibe His Spirit, and to live in harmony and unity with Him. To influence and induce man to do this, God has sent love, sent Christ to be the propitiation for our sins. God manifested His great love for man, and that He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. 1 John 4 and verse 9. Paul writes, God gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. This ministry means the service or the work of bringing man into reconciliation with God. Namely, as Paul says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not reconciling unto them their trespasses. This is done through the grace of God and the love of Christ and faith on man's part, as is stated in Romans 3:21 through 26. This is where we read, But now apart from the law of righteousness of God hath been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, unto all them that believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to show His righteousness, because of the passing over of sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God, for showing, I say, of His righteousness at this present season, that He might Himself be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Christ Jesus. The wisdom, goodness, grace, love, power, and salvation of God are manifested through Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him ye are made full, who is the head of all principality and power. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. Christ, as we know, means anointed. He is called the Lord's anointed. Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed. Christ is all three. He is the teacher, promised and sent from God, the teacher of the whole world. He is the priest to offer Himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the priest that ever lives to make intercession for us, the mediator between God and man, and He is the King to rule over us. 1 John 5:3 tells us, His commandments are not grievous. By studying the passages already quoted, and also Hebrews 1 in verse 4, another similar passage, we see how God was in Christ. God does not reckon unto men their trespasses, or hold their sins against them, in that He forgives their sins upon obedience to Christ. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9 speaks of Christ, who in the days of His flesh, having offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and having been heard for His godly fear, though He was a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and having been made perfect, He became unto all them that obey Him the author of eternal salvation. And so spiritually, when we turn from our sins, we become dead to sin. And then we're buried with Him in baptism and rise up from that watery grave a new creature in Christ. All things are become new. And we start over and live for Him in peace.